B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
My final hour, Felger and Mast. The most newsworthy thing or, I don't know, just notable thing to me or, you know, potentially troublesome thing for me from today was Nathaniel Hackett getting the job in Denver, which a lot of people have read as a precursor to Aaron Rodgers going to Denver. And, you know, I'm no huge fan of Aaron Rodgers as a dude, and he is a postseason choker. At least he is in Green Bay. But I do just sort of think of it as the landscape for you in New England, where you're already looking at Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. You're already looking at Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow in the AFC. And now you add Aaron Rodgers into the AFC. And that's before you even get to Lamar Jackson. I don't even know how you feel about him. Or before I get to Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, still, who knows how they develop and what they become. It just feels like if Rodgers comes to this conference as well, you're looking at a tremendous blockage at the quarterback spot for you here in New England. It's just how that feels.
Well, sure. Again, five guys.
Rodgers in Denver would scare me a little bit.
It should scare you.
Because they've got a good team. They got a good team. They're just a coach and quarterback short, which is obviously the two most important things. But if they get it, like, they kind of got the rest.
I mean, you're talking about five front-end quarterbacks in the conference.
And the toughest place to play in the league late in the year. Best home field advantage in the league, Denver.
Scary.
So that's kind of scary to me. So that's sort of the thing that really strikes me as well. Also, obviously, if McDaniels leaves and O'Brien comes back and that feels like that's kind of percolating, that's a pretty seismic move here as well. McDaniels out, Ziegler out. So maybe the guy that was the architect for your best drafting years could be gone.
Yes.
With the guy who is holding the hand of the future of the franchise in Mac Jones. That's kind of a scary transition too.
Yes, and in that division, they'll have those two guys coaching along with Rodgers, potentially Herbert, and Patrick Mahomes. Wow. The AFC West is going to be loaded.
Okay, back to your thoughts. And again, the Bruins folks can come back in after we spent the first full hour on that thing last night. Here's Jeff on Cape Cod on the Pats, though. Go ahead, Jeff.
So, just short, sweet, and to the point. So, I mean, if McDaniels leaves, then, you know, obviously, why aren't they talking about George Gotsi? I mean, he did a pretty good job in Miami. And as far as general managers, don't you think Bill would probably bring back, you know, either Pioli or Dimitra?
So, I mean, that kind of makes sense. I don't know if those guys are in the place in their career where they want to come back and do that.
Is Pioli doing TV now?
He is. But, you know, that's a pretty intensive job, and they've had it before. And it's sort of, it's not like Pioli or Dimitrov would be coming back and being the GM in the purest sense of the world where they run the program. They'd be coming back working for somebody, a pretty exacting guy in Bill, even if he's their friend. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if those guys would be into it.
Bill have any more sons? Oh, he's got a daughter, right? Can she do
it? Well, if Ziegler's gone and there's an opening at GM or, you know, de facto GM, Jimmy, who do you like for that spot?
Matt Patricia.
Didn't Scott Zolak say it yesterday?
Yes.
Or, I'm sorry, last week?
Yes. Matt Patricia, GM, defensive coordinator.
So you've got all these openings now, and according to Zolak, he wouldn't be surprised if Matt Patricia filled any of them. GM, defensive coordinator, future head coach.
Oh, that scares the crap out of me.
You think Bill O'Brien is scary. Never mind this guy. Sean in Salem waiting patiently on the Bruins. Sean, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
Hey, permission to change my take, Felger. It's been a while.
Go ahead.
The major problem in the NFL, not coaching, but the hiring process with the consulting firms. It started in 2010, like you said, when the kids took over and billionaire businessmen with no experiences took over. Consultant firms, you know, send out an annual booklet every November to all owners and get guys like Bill Polian to be their cover boy and promise that, you know, they'll find the perfect pick using two popular methods. You guys would have a field day with this. One is a process, 107 adjectives describing the perfect coach, and the owner selects 90 of them. If 85% match up, then they push the coach towards the hire.
Sure.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Sean, yes, it's a great point, and thank you again for hanging on. I'm becoming to believe the biggest problem with the lack of good head coaches is really a lack of good owners. And it's so true. So because, again, Jim Irsay or this Mark Davis or why do I keep blanking on the McNair dolt?
That dude in Houston is a...
The Cal McNair guy?
He is Tommy boy.
These guys haven't done anything. They have no practical experience. They were just born into a family that owned an NFL team. And so when the old man passes, they take over the team. They have no business skills. They have no skills.
They have no management skills either.
They have no management skills.
That's a big one.
They don't know how to interview someone. They don't know what to look for. They have no skills. So either they do the hiring and they're clueless, or they turn it over to some consulting firm that may not be clueless, but is just some sort of paint by numbers outside thing that doesn't, you know what I mean? So they don't know what to look for.
Look how Cal McNair's been duped by that snake down there, Jack Easterby.
Exactly.
Easy pickings.
This is the issue.
Oh, it's a definite problem. I just said that one I don't know is fixable. How do you fix that
one? It's not. It's not. You know, in every other realm of the world. And, you know, you don't have to deal with it here because the kid that's taken over is obviously smart and accomplished. And John Kraft is he doesn't fall in this category that we're talking about. So you're lucky. You're lucky as Patriots fans that, you know, your family ownership is going to be sound and, you know, they will have done something.
But even if they do send these kids to like Wharton or a real business school, half the time they end up with a lampshade on their head and not even going to classes anyway.
But I mean, when I just
went to Wharton.
when I just read through the bios, they don't even do that. I think the McCaskey guy was like a radio guy or
really?
A newspaper reporter or something. I was looking at this the other day.
Oh, there's hope.
I think he was like a... honestly. So what was I just going to say? What was I just going to say about this?
And I don't remember.
How it affects the coaches? Like so the coach hiring?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you got idiots hiring idiots. I mean, that's the problem in the league.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely it is. I mean, the first step toward getting a good general manager or coach is to have someone who can identify it. And they don't.
We've got here's Sam in the car on the Bruins, unless he wants to change it as well. Go ahead, Sam.
No, I wanted to talk to you about the Brust Mike. I couldn't agree any more with your take on him. The kid, I've been wanting to get rid of him for the last couple of years, but I think that we should move on from him because we can at least get someone with size that will back up our skilled players because we have no one to intimidate other teams. So
yeah,
that's my take.
Okay, Sam, thanks for hanging on. I mean, I'm going to go back. DeBrus bugs the crap out of me. I think he's soft, and the crying and the carrying on from his camp, whether it's his agent or someone else in his camp, is bothersome to me. And when I see him score a goal like last night, we all say it's there, but he doesn't bring it on a nightly basis. So I've no use for DeBrus, but I also have no interest in trading him for a bag of hockey pucks. If all you're going to get back is a low-round pick, I'd rather stick him on the third, fourth line and get a little something out of him. He's got to produce. He's a restricted free agent after the year, so if he wants to move on, wants a contract, he's got to perform. He's only hurting himself if he goes in the tank. So you're not going anywhere, buddy, unless we get something good for you.
You know, he is like your classic story of, you know, every time a young guy breaks in, you say, well, he's only going to get better. He got worse.
Yes, he did.
He got worse. His second year, he scored 27 goals. But do you remember the playoffs in his rookie year? The series against Toronto, I want to say. He was terrific.
Yeah, didn't he win it?
In that series. He was terrific in that series. And you thought, and remember how he used to be a good forechecker? He played hard as a rookie or even a second-year player. What the hell happened to this guy?
What happened
to him?
So the toughness, you know, the toughness part is interesting from last night. It was a questionable hit on Hall on McKinnon. And when I say questionable, it was ultimately legal. In real time, it looked questionable. But after review, it was clear it wasn't a headshot. And they still gave him a penalty. But the Avalanche still took it personally and still wanted to prove a point to Taylor Hall. So they chased him around all night. Landeskog kept challenging him to a fight. Hall kept turning it down. They ultimately went on the power play because of it, because the Avalanche defenseman lost his cool and kept cross-checking Taylor Hall behind the net. That gave him a 5-on-3 advantage. They scored two goals on the 5-on-3 and the resulting 5-on-4. Almost won them the hockey game, so you'd say smart. You know, you let the Avalanche lose their mind, lose their cool. You got power play goals out of it. Almost won the game because of it. Like, that's what the Canadians have been doing to you for years. But there's a little piece to me says that I wish someone had stuck up for Taylor Hall, because ultimately it wasn't a dirty hit. And he was being challenged to a fight by a guy that's out of his weight class. Their captain, Landeskog, is bigger and a much more experienced fighter. And Taylor Hall doesn't fight. He's only fought a handful of times in his entire NHL career. So Landeskog asking him to fight is not a fair fight and really isn't appropriate for Taylor Hall to take that fight. So someone on the Bruins should have responded to that and stood up for Taylor Hall, I think. Or at least they should have won the hockey game. Like, it's got to be one of the two things. If they want to pull the Canadian thing of let you lose your cool, you take the penalty, we score the goals, we win the game. I can live with that. Or you respond physically and show your mettle that way. The Bruins did neither. You know, they ended up losing the game, and they didn't really respond to the Avalanche's response. But, I thought it was an interesting spot either way. It was a fascinating game. So we'll continue with your thoughts on that and whatever else you want right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, so Adam's been working the phones like crazy here. His news is flying around, even live during our show. You have a developing story on the Raiders, Adam.
Well, Laura, this afternoon, the Las Vegas Raiders put in for permission to interview the Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels for their head coaching job. He's going to go to Las Vegas to interview for that job. And you'd have to think that McDaniels would be very selective about where he would and wouldn't interview. And keep in mind that the Raiders already have interviewed the Patriots personnel man Dave Ziegler. So now you've got a potential Patriots pairing, say that again, a potential Patriots pairing in Las Vegas that would include Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels if that's the direction that the Raiders owner Mark Davis decides that he wants to go. But Josh McDaniels is in play right now in Las Vegas.
So there's that McDaniels news. What does it mean? Continue with your thoughts. Here's Matt in Topsfield. Hi, Matt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Joe Judge becoming the possible offensive coordinator. I bring that up because in the Wickersham book, when Josh McDaniels was going to leave for the job with the Colts, he was supposed to be the next guy. And I did see a report on Twitter that Belichick met with Joe Judge yesterday. So I don't know if that's accurate, but just wanted to bring that up.
Where can you clarify where you saw that? I mean, on Twitter, was it from Joe Blow at Twitter.com, or what, is this like a report?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, we'll run with anything, so we'll try and track it down.
Let me see what I can find.
But Joe Judge, his last year here, was a receivers coach as well as special teams coach.
Okay, so do I believe Bill talked to Joe Judge? Like, yes. I do. For all the, we know all the reasons. The Giants are paying him.
Yep.
Okay, and
he's free.
Don't you need a special teams coach?
Yeah.
So I'm in favor of that.
Oy.
Can you please bring Joe Judge back?
But doesn't this just sort of propagate the whole thing we've been talking about? Friends, buddies, bobos, sycophants, cheap contracts, no one challenging Bill, and Judge just more of that?
Yes, except that he has experience.
And I think he will get you lined up on a punt, unlike the other guy.
I mean, I think overall when he was here, he was a pretty decent special teams coach. He's certainly better than this guy. So my point is, I'll take the upgrade. I'll at least take a guy who has a little bit of experience. The idea of someone that is outside of Bill's, little network is preposterous. Like, you're not going to get it. I told you, I would love Mike Zimmer, but they're never going to do that, not in a million years. So if it's got to be someone in the club, I'll take Joe Judge as special teams coach. I will.
But if not Joe Judge, Maz, how about, can you swallow the pill of Son of Lombardi? Reading from Mike Giardi here, of course, now with NFL Network, he tweets, as for who could be on tap to replace McDaniels, the obvious in-house candidates would be Mick Lombardi and Nick Caley. Outside, would Bill O'Brien entertain a return? I'll tell you this. The Crafts made a big push to keep McDaniel when he was set to leap to Indy. I'd do the same here. But either way, could you live with Mick Lombardi as the offensive coordinator?
Well, you know what would happen there? He wouldn't get the title.
Right.
He would be the play caller, but he wouldn't get the title. So my answer is no. Like, I want a real coordinator. And again, I'm accepting the fact that it's going to be someone Bill knows. Like, that's a given. The way he operates, there's no way around that. But can I at least get someone who's done the job in the NFL and been a head coach somewhere, like whatever?
Probably not. Cam and Taunton, your Patriots thought.
Guys, you mentioned in Rodgers coming that could be five quarterbacks. What if it's six? What if our old buddy down in Tampa gets his way out of there? Because I'm with you guys. I don't think he wants to retire. I think he wants to keep playing. I just think he might be done with the Bucs because they're the Bucs. They're still a clown operation that he dragged to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What if he goes, you know what?
Tennessee.
I'll go to Miami.
Well,
or Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Or any one of these things. Now he's in your face.
That's right. It's possible. It's possible. I know that, you know, what's his face? Tannehill's got a pretty onerous contract, but then again, so did Jared Goff. And so did Carson Wentz. And all the guys that you hear you can't move because of the cap ultimately get moved. So there's a way around everything, as we know. So that wouldn't, you know, if Brady comes back, it wouldn't surprise me if it's for Tennessee or an AFC team, and now there's more blockage.
Oh, Tennessee would be great. That would be great.
Good pairing there, wouldn't you think?
Coach of the year, Mike Vrabel.
Tim in Rhode Island on the Landeskog Taylor Hall thing last night. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to start off. I love Gabriel Landeskog as a player, as a captain, but I was looking back on it, and his comments after the game about you can't hit a superstar over the middle, he was the one that passed that breakout pass, and it was just a suicide pass. Like he was the one that set him up to get absolutely rocked, and so I think if you're Taylor Hall, you got to make that hit going against the best power forward in the NHL. Thanks.
Oh, okay, Tim, I disagree with you. I think that. It just let me say, it was not a dirty hit. Ultimately, was not. It was fluky that he got hurt. But that is the type, again, keyword type, the kind of, in the neighborhood of the kind of hit the league has been trying to get out of the game for a long time. Now, it ultimately didn't get there, but it was in the neighborhood. And I think in some respects, Hall was lucky he didn't hit him in the head. Because he did come in a skosh late, and he did come in a skosh high, and he almost did hit him in the head. But ultimately it wasn't. But in real time, I think the Avs did what I would want my team to do, which is protect my best player on a questionable hit.
Sure.
Doesn't mean dirty, means questionable, which is what it was at the time. And even after the fact, so this was the Landeskog comment. He said, well, the hit in and of itself, he said this after the game, I looked at it at intermission. I don't think it's that bad. It's unfortunate the way it happens where Nate kind of crosses over into him, gets his stick up, and I think it's obviously his stick that cuts himself. But he said, ultimately, at the end of the day, when one of your best friends and teammates and your best player gets hit like that in the neutral zone, you've just got to make sure that the next time anybody thinks about doing that, they have to pay a price and that there's going to be some consequences with that. And that's not, he said, it doesn't have to be a dirty play for us to feel that way. It's just the way it is. And Hall didn't want to answer for it, and that's unfortunate. The only problem I have with that whole comment is the very last line. Taylor Hall should not be made to fight Curtis Landeskog on what was ultimately a clean hit. That's dumb, Landeskog. That's dumb. You're out of his weight class. You know it. And ultimately, the hit was clean. So why should Taylor Hall have to fight someone out of his weight class on a hit that wasn't even dirty? So stop with that. The rest of it about you sending a message and protecting your best player, I'm for 100%. I think the issue last night with the Bruins is once it was clear that they were targeting Taylor Hall, is someone on the Bruins going to stand up and protect Taylor Hall? Like, I would have liked to have seen that. Like, hey, guys, it was a clean hit. Enough, right? Landeskog followed him around the whole second period, pushing him into the boards, challenging him in front of both benches. Like, I would have given him that, but I said, you know, enough. And the cross-checking party behind the net is like, all right, like, are the Bruins going to stand up for that?
Good question. Yeah, it bugged me, too. I thought that there needed to be more of a response there. And I say response, just some pushback.
Yeah, get in someone's face and say, enough, we got it. It was a clean hit. Enough, you made your point. And, you know, short of that, what they instead decided to do was to take the penalties, take the power plays. They scored on the power plays, and they almost won the game because of it. which is the other approach. How do you feel about that as a Bruins fan? I mean, that's what the Canadians, I say this all the time, what the Canadians used to do against you all the time.
Oh, Bruins fans hate it.
You used to run hot, get all hot and bothered, pulverize guys into the boards. The Canadians would just sort of take the hit, flop into the boards, take the power play, score the goal, win the game. Are you okay being that thing? Because that's what the Bruins were last night.
Yeah, I would like to be some combination of both. Take the penalty, but don't back down. It felt like they backed down. And just quickly, because I looked around, was there any comment from Cassidy on the hit?
So I did not look that up.
Okay, I didn't see one.
It's possible no one asked him, but do we know that yet? Here, just Google. Bruce Cassidy McKinnon.
Okay. Right? Because I didn't see it, and I thought we'd get, you know, and maybe it is out there, and I just didn't see it. Because I didn't, you know, in the reporting that I read this morning, I didn't see it. So it struck me as odd that there wasn't a question or to Cassidy about, you know, the hit from Hall. Did you think it was questionable? Did you think it was, you know, worthy of a penalty, or et cetera?
Maybe I can ask him that tomorrow as well. I'm going to jump on the Bruce Cassidy conference call tomorrow and ask him why he plays David Pastrnak at the end of these games.
So you had said about McKinnon, it wasn't technically it wasn't a dirty hit. Did you feel like McKinnon was defenseless?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
see, that's how I felt. I felt like McKinnon was defenseless. He came from the side and he drilled him. And so, you know, the whole point now is eliminate the needless hit. That was a needless hit. For the most part.
Yeah, but it wasn't predatory is the thing.
It was questionable, borderline. Ultimately, it was on the legal side of questionable and borderline, but it was still in that area. So I don't think the Avs responding like that was all that outrageous until I get to the point of Curtis Landeskog basically calling Hall a puss for not taking the fight.
Gabriel.
What do I keep calling him?
Curtis.
Whatever. Gabriel Landeskog.
Curtis in a truck.
Whatever. But that guy, it's like, come on, man. That guy's not supposed. Taylor Hall's not supposed to fight you, and you know it, especially when the hit was clean. But either way, we're discussing it. Yes, go ahead.
I just don't know.
It's just not even close.
I can't.
No, that's what I'm laughing at too. Like, where did that come from?
Penelope. I don't know.
You could have called him
Jameson. I can't.
You'd call him Gary.
I don't know.
Greg.
Lot of action across the NFL this afternoon.
Why not Steve
Murray with the latest? Taylor Hall should not be made to fight Curtis Landeskog.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
I'm definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
There's no question they became unfocused there, but I think it's more about like creating the culture. I think Landeskog is one of the best captains in the NHL. I don't think he cares about a home win in January when you just rattled off 16 in a row. I think you care more about the passion of Halsey came to the middle of the ice, although a completely clean hit. I don't think it deserved one penalty. He sent in the message, try it again. Come through the middle, try to line up one of my star players again. And obviously McKinnon's out for the night, but in my opinion, you've seen Landeskog. You saw him do it in preseason with Hartman in Minnesota. He's a fiery guy, and he understands one of the intangibles that he brings as a leader is defending superstars and other guys in his team. Do I think it's the smartest thing? No, but they're down two right now. They can go regroup between the second intermission and come out and still win the
spot. But that's really the question. I think he's a great captain. Yep. I really do. But you mentioned, I mean, it's a totally clean hit. It's a fluke that his own stick catches him in the face. What message are you sending? Isn't a better message we're going to go out and win this game?
You would think it would be, but you never like to see your player bleeding on the ice. I would say lucky for the Avs this year, they got Nazem Kadri that has been unbelievable stepping when players are out. So they have a player that could fill in for Nathan McKinnon if he doesn't come back. But I'm with Biz, though, too. You got to send a message.
I like that Halsey. I thought it was a smart play by him staying focused. And as you saw, the Bees did as well. And they didn't get emotionally involved in that. And they just worried about scoring goals. So you can be right on both sides of it. I just personally, I know how I played and I know how I wanted my team to play. And I would have done exactly what Landeskog did.
That's Bissonnette. I'm forgetting the name, and I've covered. I know the guy. No, Carter. Oh. Hanson Carter.
Oh.
And I did not know Bissonnette's first name. Bissonnette, Paul Bissonnette, Anson Carter there on the TNT between periods break there, second to third period. Bissonnette's growing on me. You know, I was really scared about that halftime crew there, that between periods crew with the Wayne Gretzky thing, which they had to do last night. Did you know it was Wayne's birthday? It was Wayne's birthday, everybody.
Yay.
Oh, my God. But I was worried just about the grabassery, and they never sink their teeth into anything. Like, the brilliance of the Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Anderson, like that. Not Kenny Anderson.
Smith.
Kenny Smith.
Yeah, this is a tour de force right now.
Seriously? Curtis Gretzky.
The brilliance of that crew is when they sink their teeth into basketball stuff, it's good. So I was worried that this hockey crew would never sink their teeth into the hockey game. It would just be all the grabassery that comes with that. And they sunk their teeth into the Landeskog Hall thing last night. I thought it was good. It was good commentary, I thought. So I just want to say that because I started off the year just blasting them. You know, I could have used not starting the game on Truly TV or something because the effing Blackhawks game.
Yeah, like Blackhawks Detroit was still going on.
They couldn't just patch in the Bruins game to the Boston market.
And no, that bugged the crap out of me, too.
Like, what, you know, it's still a lot of, I still miss NBC. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the after period and between period commentary, TNT is about to lap NBC. What do you think Patrick Sharp would have done with that? He just would have looked into the camera with those incredible green eyes, and I would have, I don't know what he would have said.
Just put you in a daze.
He would have said nothing. He just would have looked into the camera, and it wouldn't matter what he said. When you're that good looking, it doesn't matter what you say. And it's a good thing, because he says nothing. So at least Bissonnette and Card and those guys took it on. But either way, I think the Avs ultimately got exactly what they wanted. They proved their point. They stood up for their teammate. They were the more physically imposing team. They imposed their will, and they still get to win the hockey game. As Bissonnette said, hey, it's the second period. We proved our point. Now we get to come out and win the game, and that's exactly what they did. That's a good team there in Colorado. I'll say it again. If they don't win a cup in the next couple of years, they will have choked. That is a cup-worthy team, talent-wise. Mike and Warburn, what'd you make of that stuff last night?
I didn't like hate the response from Colorado. I think it was like a reasonable response. I mean, we saw something similar last year in the playoffs when, you know, Tavares gets kicked in the head by Corey Perry, but on a completely fluky accident in that playoff game, and they still make him fight the next period. You know, I mean, some teams just want that. They want to settle that thing and put it behind him. I don't blame Taylor Hall for not going with Landeskog. He's out of his weight class, like you said. Send someone similar, like a Compher or someone out there to fight with him. But and Landeskog has been a guy that's he basically went out and tweeted after a game in like 2013 that yep, he didn't go with Lucic because that would have been dumb because Lucic would have fed him. And so he knows when to pick his spots. And I'm not saying he's a spot picker. I'm just saying that he knows when you're outclassed, it doesn't make any sense to get your face filled in by a guy who's way tougher than you.
Exactly.
The Colorado response is not the norm anymore, unfortunately. I don't know if you saw the Aaron Dell play against Ottawa, where Aaron Dell, a guy who could have been a great goalie, is now a backup, is now like a fringe goalie, takes out one of Ottawa's best players in Drake Batherson, and Ottawa does really nothing the rest of the game. Like, I expected every guy on Ottawa for the rest of that game to be crashing the net trying to name that guy. You know, so we see less and less of this now. So I get your point about the Canadians, like the Bruins. Do we build the Bruins like the Canadians back in the day? Those Canadians also had a lot of top guys on there, John Kordick, George Laroque, stuff like that. The league is going away from it and building that way. I think when you need defensemen and still you need a second line center, isn't the smartest thing to do right now.
Yeah, I know. It's changing. So it's all sort of questionable, kind of what makes it a good topic, I think. But either way, I thought the Bruins were close to a real statement win last night. They were that close.
They just could have cleared that puck out of the zone at the end of regulation.
King in Boston. Go ahead, King.
Yeah, first, I want to say, don't you think Tom Brady and all this retirement is a way of him like trying to see what happens with his coaching staff and see what happens like with his wide receivers and his weapons with
yes.
Godwin and Gronk?
Yes.
And
yes.
Second, for the Patriots, if McDaniels leave, can't we really like just trade Mac Jones for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson and reset on the offensive side and the quarterback too? Because Trevor Lawrence tear up the Colts defense the last week of the season, and Mac Jones sucked against them.
Okay, so I'm in favor of upgrading the quarterback spot, if it's possible. I'm in favor of it. So I would do it, but my second thing today is if they're not going to do it, then they at least have to keep spending on the roster because they've got a cheap quarterback. Mac Jones' cap hit next year, $3.5 million, ranks 34th in the league. He makes less than 2% of the Patriots' salary cap. That means you are now free to spend everywhere else, so keep spending everywhere else. If you're not going to pay the quarterback that money, then pay somebody that money.
It's a big offseason for them.
It is.
Big, big offseason for them.
With this stuff, too, now. Add it to the list. McDaniels potentially gone. Ziegler potentially gone. Maybe Bill O'Brien coming back. A lot of stuff. Kevin in Southie. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Two quick points, right? I heard Adam Jones last week say he'd trade Bill for a first and a third round pick. That's absolutely probably the worst take I've ever heard in my life. I mean, what are we really doing here? Second point, right? I know I heard you guys talk about Deshaun Watson and that for the right price you guys would take him here. But Mike, I know you're a man of integrity. I mean, look what's going on with this kid. I mean, what was it, up to 24 now? I mean, 24 sexual assault allegations. He's a pervert. Do we really want a pervert as a quarterback here? I don't care how talented he is. You know?
We need to determine whether he's really a pervert or was just immature and inappropriate.
Worked for Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if he's really, and I just don't want to get caught saying the wrong thing here, but I said this yesterday that he has to repent. He has to come clean, admit he has a problem. Not just say it, but actually do it and rehabilitate himself. Okay, so that has to happen. If he goes on denying that he did anything wrong and it's proven that he did something wrong, then I don't want anything to do with him either.
It won't work.
If he's a real bad guy, like a really, really bad guy who's really hurt people and is unrepentant about it, then I'm with you, caller. I don't need him. But if he was just immature and went too far way too many times and admits his problem and really tries to correct his problem, look, he's going to be in the league. So I would take him back as long as he clears those hurdles. That's all. But I need to know exactly what happened, how it happened, and where he stands on it.
But make no mistake, he will be in the league. Tyreek Hill's in the league. Roethlisberger stayed in the league. Ray Lewis stayed in the league. Like, he'll play.
Antonio Brown stayed in the league. Like, come on. He's going to be playing. So, you know, clear yourself of that disillusion if you don't think so. Dave in Cranston. Go ahead, Dave.
How you doing? I grew up a Bruins fan. I'm 60 years old. I love the Bruins to death, but they got no heart. They used to be the big bad Bruins. Now they're the big bitch Bruins. the only guy on that team with any balls is Marshawn. Neely needs to address these guys. They got to stand up for the players. You got Marshawn getting his nose broke. You got Bergeron getting his nose broke. Nobody's doing anything. Somebody needs to grow some balls on that team, and they need to stand up for their players.
Okay, Dave, thanks for the call. They've moved in a different direction. What can I tell you?
Okay, so, but there is sort of a happy medium in there somewhere, and I think he's right. Like, there's a difference between being big and bad and fighting your way to the cup, and another between standing your ground and, you know, making the game tough on other people. And I don't think they make the game hard enough for opponents. They don't.
Let's do some emails, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, yeah.
It's the Moncast Email of the Day!
Yeah, Felga, my name's Steve.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Call me Kurt.
And I think Mez is a boob.
The Moncast Email of the Day! Send one to Felga at 985thesportshub.com.
Email a Day is protected by Mimecast, M-I-M-E, Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com, M-I-M-E, M as in Michael. I'll read a couple emails from a constant emailer, Derek, and he hates us like poison. But he does hate listen because he's constantly sending us messages.
I can't understand why he would possibly hate us.
So you want to give him some time because he's obviously a good customer. Subject line, why is it so hard for you and basically everyone to give Belichick credit? Maz does not think that Bill deserved the Executive of the Year award.
He didn't.
Derek writes, not only did he draft the future quarterback, but he drafted two other impact players in Stevenson and Barmore, the latter being a cornerstone piece. And don't tell me Kraft made the pick. Dumbest thing I've ever heard. The only thing Kraft told him to do was to get a quarterback, and Belichick chose Mac. He also hit on most of the free agent signings. So annoying how people like you act. Just because you spend money, it guarantees you wins. You still have to pick the right players, which he did. Belichick deserved executive of the year. Stop the nonsense. Derek continues. Subject line, they just made the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. Who cares if that loser Aaron Rodgers comes to the AFC? You guys are such losers. So because there's a bunch of really good quarterbacks means the Patriots don't stand a chance?
Yes.
Guess what? They got a pretty good one, too, that just made the playoffs as a rookie. Herbert's missed the playoffs both years. It's called the ultimate team sport for a reason.
Andy Dalton made it his first year, too.
Rodgers ain't blocking them from anything, signed Derek. See? On and on and on. I could, like, search up Derek emails. They're all hate-filled, hate-listen emails. I
so
love it.
So did Sanchez. Sanchez made the playoffs a rookie, too, didn't he?
First 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, went to the AFC Championship game, right? He sucked.
Back-to-back, yeah.
Defense exists, you idiots. You can stop Mahomes and Allen.
I like this guy.
Oh, yeah, he's just on and on and on. You still need good offense, just not quarterback to put up points and win. But defense isn't irrelevant, and it matters, you idiots.
Guess you didn't watch Sunday night, huh?
Derek, is he copying me on these? They just go to you.
I think you're copied on him. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Look, let's see.
I've really tightened the chastity belt on my Mimecast email. So,
oh yeah, no.
Not get this.
Well, no, what I do, I block a lot of people.
Subject line.
Seriously, I mean, I block this guy.
Is this a joke? The draft doesn't matter anymore because Belichick had a good one. For years, you've complained about Belichick's drafting and how it sucked, which it did, and how they have to build through the draft. And now that he has a very good one, it sucked because one was a running back and because the Rams did it a different way than everybody else. So now you can't build a team through the draft because literally one team, he does a lot of run-on sentences, a lot of gobbledygook, but it's all just hate listening.
I found him.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff.
No, he's in my inbox.
And so like, and whenever I'm dry for email of the day, there's Derek.
Hold on, right click. Block.
But no, that's a customer.
I'm kidding.
That's a customer.
I'm kidding. It was a joke.
And he's a chronic listener. So that's like, that's a good thing, Derek.
Oh, yeah, no, I like Derek.
Keep him coming. Final word comes your way next.
I mean, Steve.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody.
Nope.
Couple of things to get to in the final word this afternoon. First, when discussing the possibility of old Felger dusting off the notepad and pencil and becoming reporter boy again, jumping on the media availability for Bruce Cassidy tomorrow, Maz and I, mostly me, screwed up the time of when this will happen.
You know, a couple things that bugged me from the Bruins loss last night. Pastrnak being on the ice in the 6-on-5, where he is routinely. Can I text Beers? Can we text Beers or Ty Anderson or someone who's there who can answer that question for me? Because I swear to God, if I don't get the answer, I'm going to jump on a. I'm threatening to go to the press conference because I got it. I have to have Bruce Cassidy tell me,
dude,
why you put your worst defensive player on the ice trying to preserve a one goal game? Routinely, he's out there with that group, dude. What?
If you are threatening to go on the press conference, the last thing I'm going to do is text Tyre Beers.
Right.
I want you on that press conference.
It's really not a big deal. We're playing it up more than it is.
I love it.
What? Huh? What?
In your email?
When's the Zoom?
It's after morning skate tomorrow.
Do it.
Yeah.
It's in your email.
You won't.
I will. What time is it?
So it's 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Meaning
1 o'clock.
9, oh. Murray.
9 or 1, Boston.
If it's 11 a.m. Mountain Time, it's 1 o'clock.
I thought, I'm an idiot.
Thank you.
Yes, you are.
I love it when we do this live. 1 o'clock.
Well, that's easy enough.
Yeah,
he's been cornered.
I need the answer. Why do you put your worst defensive player on the ice and your best goal scorer? So maybe that's just as simple as that. We want to end the game with an empty netter, and Pastrnak's our best chance to get the empty netter. That's not what I would do. That's where I put Bleed or Lazar or someone like that out there to win a board battle, get a loose puck, and get it out of the effing zone. Now, I can't do this tomorrow on the Zoom. I just got to ask, which I can do. And I don't know what.
Can you?
Should not make this big of a deal of it. But when you've done, you did something for like 20 years and you haven't done it for 15, it is sort of a mind bleep. But it has to be asked. Why is Pastrnak out there in a one-goal game with the empty? Like, why? Why him? So the actual availability tomorrow is after the morning skate. The morning skate is at 11:30 Mountain Time.
Oh, you weasel.
Listen, listen.
You weasel.
Listen. I assume the skate's going to go an hour, 45 minutes an hour. It's just a little twirl around the ice. And then he's available. So let's just call it 12:30 Mountain Time, which means 2:30 local time for the Bruce Cassidy Zoom. I'm going to jump off the air and go in back there and ask Bruce the question.
Oh, I like it.
Simple as that.
Okay.
No stunt, no acrimony. Just I am legitimately curious from a strategy standpoint. Why does he put his worst defensive player out in that situation?
No, look, I have those little irritations sometimes, too, where I feel like, do I have to go on the thing with Alex Cora and ask him?
You know, I was just right. It's like, well, someone asked this? Like, no, this doesn't occur to anyone else? That why is he out there? Like, wouldn't you want all your penalty killers? No, you put Marchand and Bergeron, obviously. And then, like, a penalty killer out there, your best defensive player. And he goes just the opposite. It's like, so there's got to be a reason. No one asked. I haven't seen him answer this question or even be asked it. So I'll go do it myself. And I was just thinking about it. The last time I did that, like the last time I was in a press conference, it had to be 2007, I feel like. No, so they might say that 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Last time I did that.
Yeah, you're going to be a little rusty.
No, definitely.
We still got time for this, Jimmy?
I'll botch it. I'm sorry. We have what's
to go. Well, maybe this was to honor the retirement of Ben Roethlisberger, that news today. But Maz got really aggressive when we were discussing who's a good or bad quarterback in the NFL.
Minnesota and Kirk Cousins.
Down.
Up.
Down.
Down.
Up.
You lose this one. Nope.
Up.
Down.
You lose.
No. Cousins
thumbs
sucks.
Up, thumbs down.
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 Thumbs he up, sucks. Thumbs down.
He's ballless.
Down. You lose.
Yeah. Too bad. I lost Mike Zimmer in Minnesota in the last one. Take it. Swallow. So that came out wrong.
Yeah,
sounded it. So Mike has this expression, like, you know, someone gets into a disagreement with someone. Kraft says to Belichick, sorry, you got to swallow this one.
Yeah, you got to swallow this one.
Right? You got to swallow it.
Suck it up.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I meant.
I understand. It was strong, quite strong.
That just came out the wrong way.
All right. You folks out there.
What time is it? 11 Mountain. What's that? 9-1.
I knew it was 2 hours. Just the other way.
Here comes Jones. Speaking of which, don't know what he has in store, but it probably isn't good. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 for Maz. What?
Agenda free.
Agenda free Friday. All right. Have a good night, everybody. See you tomorrow.
See ya.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.